as I start out, I just want to tell you that I'm kind of where you are right now. I have Cheerios under my table currently, and there's probably handprints and maybe even lip prints all on the windows at my house. And if you were to come over, you'd be seeing stacks of little shoes by the front door. And so, you know, sometimes when we think of hospitality, we think of like this perfect, like open up the magazine, or I guess more up to date would be Pinterest, picture of your home and everything being just perfect. And that's not what my home looks like, and I don't think that's what a lived-in home actually looks like. So I'm where you are. My home is far from perfect, and so more than trying to get our homes to be a place where we feel comfortable to have in, we want to look for how we can honor the Lord with having people in our homes. So I love that God cares about every part of our life. He cares about our speech. He cares about our dress. He cares about everything. And he cares about our homes. And he cares about how we love others. Even is one of his greatest commandments is we're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and we're to love others as ourselves. And so as we look at hospitality, it actually just means we're literally supposed to love outsiders. That's the definition of hospitality, is loving outsiders. So Mums is focused on the gospel this year. I've heard the different speakers, and they've done an excellent job talking about the gospel and bringing us back to the good stuff. And it's such a wonderful central focus to all of our life. And as we open up the scriptures tonight, if you brought your Bible, you might want it. If not, just listen, and you can write down the references and maybe go back at another time and read them for yourself. But the Bible is our handbook for life, and it's the light for our path. And so anything I tell you tonight of my own opinion is just my opinion, and that's why I'm not coming here with a whole lot of cute recipes and little decorating ideas. I want to look at the scripture and see what the Bible has to say about hospitality, and that brings us obedience and joy in life. So let's start with the gospel. How about that? You know, when I was thinking about that, I was thinking about God. When we think about the gospel, we think that you know, Jesus, the Trinity was in heaven and perfectly in fellowship with one another in a perfect home, in a perfect place. And then Jesus came here on earth and had to leave his perfect heavenly home to come to this place where there's so much wickedness and sin, and he knew he was going to die. And just to think that he left that perfect home to come live on this earth and make it a very temporal home, and then die and suffer and rise again so that we might be joined with him in heaven. And I just think that that's our perfect picture of hospitality, is that Jesus condescended to us to bring us to be with him for all of eternity. And, you know, I think that's just a spot where we could sit and really meditate on for a little while and worship the Lord with, and that motivates our own hospitality. So Ephesians 2:12 says, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Now that's a pretty sad place to be. And I know that I, before I was a Christian, was in a desperate place and headed for destruction. And I was an alien. I was without Christ. I had nothing. But he sent his son from his perfect home down here on earth so that I could be bought with that price and redeemed. And I just love that picture of hospitality. But he didn't stop there. In 1 Timothy 6:17, it says, as for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. So I just love that phrase. He provides us richly, and he just loves us so lavishly, doesn't he? I mean, you can think through your life, all the good gifts he's given you, they just outnumber. I mean, even in Psalm 139, it talks about his thoughts toward us outnumber the sand. He is so good towards you. He loves you so much. And so with that kind of love, that lavish love, we are to love others. So God starts talking about hospitality back in Leviticus, all the way in the Old Testament. Leviticus 19, 33 and 34 talks about a stranger, if they're sojourning in your land, you're supposed to take them in into your tent, and you're supposed to treat them like your own family. And that sounds a little odd, but at the end of the verse it says, love him as yourself, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. And then he says, I am the Lord your God. And I love that phrase, I'm the Lord your God. Why do you invite people into your home that are strangers? Well, God says, I did it for you. Remember, you were in Israel and you were slaves, and I brought you out into a safe place, and for my name's sake, you're to do this, to give me glory. And don't we want to mirror God's values in our hospitality, that we would also invite strangers into our home? And it's a beautiful picture of what Christ has done for us. Then we move to the New Testament, and we look in Romans 12, verse 1 and verse 13. I'll read for you. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. So here it's specifically talking about the body of believers, not to strangers, but to other people that are Christians, and that we are to love him with our life. And since we are living sacrifices, we're bought with a price, we can look at how to love others in the body of Christ. Well, I think hospitality can be difficult at the beginning. And I know that when I first got married to Jesse, we were in college ministry. We were out of college, but we were, you know, had college students over to our home all the time and loved college students. Well, this one Sunday night after night church, Jesse went around to our college group and started inviting them all over for dinner. Yeah, so we hadn't really worked out the kinks of communication yet either. And so I'm like, I was supposed to provide dinner for like 20 people, 15, 20 people out of what? You know, I hadn't really prepared anything. So on the way home, I was racking my brain and I made pancakes for everybody and it worked out. But I think that at the beginning there, it was very hard, both communication and preparing to have people over was very difficult, and it was stressful to me. And having people in my home, and just even like, where do I put the plates, and where do I set? Do I have enough forks for all these people? And just everything was kind of challenging and hard. But like, if you play an instrument and you practice it regularly, it gets really easy. And so I think that in your life, if you keep practicing hospitality and doing it, it's going to get a whole lot easier and it won't be so stressful as in the beginning. And good communication also goes a long way. So after church now, Jesse will look at me like, do you want to have them over? So we're really good at working that out now. First Peter 4, verses 8 and 9 says, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. And then it says, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. This one has a stinger at the end, doesn't it? A little without grumbling. I mean, how easy it is to complain. We're like, oh, I'm tired. The baby didn't sleep last night. You know, it costs a lot of money sometimes to have people in your home. It makes you tired. You have a lot more work to do. You might feel overwhelmed. There's a whole host of reasons to complain. But really, complaining is, bottom line, it's just sin. And so we need to not do it. And so I think that if we look at Jesus' example, what did he do when he was in the midst of something that was difficult? He set his eyes on the cross, and for the joy before him, he endured it, and with joy. He did it with joy. And so I think that opposite of grumbling is look to do it for Jesus and do it with joy. When you have people over to your home, you love them and you do it for him, and you don't need to complain. So Hebrew, the next verse I want to talk about, I'm going to do five total, so we're on number four right now, is Hebrews 13, verses 1 through 2. And it says, let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. So it's pretty natural to neglect hospitality. I think that it's just kind of normal. Our natural gravity is to be self-centered. It's not to be centered on other people. It's to kind of be focused on ourselves. So naturally, we don't have room for it in our life. It's just not there. We have to kind of make it happen. So I think that we have to be strategic in our hospitality, and we have to be willing to look for eternal results. And I just wanted to share with you, I don't know if you heard of Rosaria Butterfield. A lot of you probably have. Well, last year around this time, I got to go with Bethany and some other gals to go to Liberty and hear her share her testimony. And I was really blown away. She was a professor of English and women's studies at Syracuse University, and she was an activist for the gay rights at that time, and she and her partner prided themselves as being extremely hospitable. They would always have other people from all over into their home, and they entertained people, and they loved doing it together, and, you know, what's wrong with that? So they were just this really outgoing couple. Well, during her studies, she had to read the Bible, and she had to do some sort of research on it. And so she ended up meeting one of her neighbors who happened to be a pastor. And he said, well, why don't you just come over to my house for dinner, and we'll talk about it. And so she did. And that night, the pastor and she just and his wife became friends and started talking. The pastor didn't end up inviting her to church that night or giving her the gospel. He just made a relationship. And over time, the gospel did come out, and she did totally become a Christian. And it's just amazing testimony, and has changed her lifestyle, and is actually married to a pastor now, and has children, and homeschools them even, and just is an amazing testimony, and goes around the country speaking, sharing her testimony, and writing books about how you can have a conversation, this strategic type of conversation, and make friends with people to draw them to Christ. And that's pretty powerful to think that that kitchen table, that meal, led to her conversion, and many others too. So that's kind of a lot of, I mean, the scripture is just so convicting on that. The last one is just Titus 1, 7 through 8, and it talks about an overseer or a minister. One of the requirements is that it says that they are to be hospitable. It says they're not to be a drunkard and arrogant, and they're supposed to live a life above reproach. But it says be hospitable and a lover of good. And so God takes hospitality pretty seriously, as we can see through this portrait, this portrait we just saw through Old Testament and New Testament. God cares a lot about hospitality. And one of the reasons I think it's probably a requirement for someone in the ministry is that our homes are where Christianity is most graphically revealed. Don't you think that it's in your walls that your real stuff comes out? and sometimes when people are in your home, that comes out. And so I think it's important to be able to have people in your home to show that there's integrity. That's you're really who you say you are. So let's talk about cultivating a heart of hospitality. Megan, thank you for the book review. I do love that book so much. And it is all about the heart. So I just want to talk to you about what is hospitality and what is entertaining, and are they different? So I don't know about you, but I love Jen Wilkin, and sometimes I read her little excerpts and blogs and whatever else. Well, there's a lot of reasons. She writes this little thing I want to tell you, that entertaining is not hospitality. She actually calls it that entertaining is the wicked stepsister of hospitality, which I thought was very funny. She says this about entertaining. Entertaining involves setting a perfect tablescape after an exhaustive search on Pinterest. It chooses a menu that will impress, and then frets through each stage of preparation. It requires the house to be perfectly clean. Entertaining focuses the attention on self. Hospitality involves setting a table that makes everyone feel comfortable. It chooses a menu that allows time with friends. It straightens up the house, but it doesn't conceal that people actually live there. Hospitality shows interest in the thoughts, preferences, and heart of those you're with. It's good at asking questions and listening. Hospitality focuses the attention on others. And I love this because it's really true. They can look so similar, and yet they're very different. So how are they different? They sound kind of similar. They probably look a lot similar, but the difference is the motives of the heart. So since we're talking about the gospel in our heart, let's talk about our motives. What would be some negative motives for having people in your home and having hospitality? Well, I've certainly had them before. Sometimes you want to impress people. Sometimes you want to control the situation. Sometimes you want to show off. Sometimes you might be running over your children a bit. Have you ever done that before? That you feel like they're getting in the way of you having people over. Well, these are all bad motives to do a good thing. So we have to ask ourselves, why are we doing what we're doing? 1 John 5:3 says, "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father, whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we are the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." So love is not burdensome. And this is what transforms hospitality. So what's the right motive? The right motive is, of course, our love for God and our love for others. It sounds simple, but of course, it's really hard to do. And I don't know about you, but I always have to pray before I have people over and really give it to the Lord and ask it to be his strength and not my own, and ask him to be revealed and it not be about me, and ask for me to be patient with my children as I prepare. And sometimes, you know, it's no big deal. It's just like one family. Other times you're having a large group over and it's a little more stressful, and you have to go through that a little bit more, the prayer part. God is such a cheerful giver, isn't he? That's another motive. It's just full of love and joy. So we can do it because Christ has first loved us. We can therefore love others. So maybe ask yourself, and that's one of the discussion questions, maybe some motives that you could change as you're having people in your home so that your love is for them and for Christ, and it doesn't revolve around maybe you as much. So I was thinking, let's talk about who can we show hospitality to. And there's three main categories of people we can show hospitality for. And the first one starts right at home with our family, as you mentioned, Megan. And I think that is such a convicting one, because sometimes we give our best to everybody else and our family is like, here, eat this. Here, I'm going to go do this while you eat. I don't know. I've done that with my kids before. So maybe you haven't. I was listening to a podcast recently, and Sally Clarkson was saying how, do you know the average family eats 20,000 meals together? 20,000 meals is a really huge part of your life. So she was suggesting that you make meal time a really good time where you're building relationships with your family. And that's hospitality at the heart of it, is that you're loving them and you're building relationships. So maybe ask them a question. Ask them, what are your highs and lows from today? Simple. A two-year-old can answer that. What's your highs and lows? You know, ask them, what did you like about today? What was sad about today? How are you? You know, talking to your husband and engaging with him. I think that this is a huge part of hospitality. We see Jesus doing that, don't we? With his disciples, he often made the meals, and he often talked to them during the meals. And so we can do that with our family. It's really not hard to do. So much, I think, in our society today, we value activities, and we value getting things done. And we value them more than relationships. But I want to encourage you to ask the question, how can I actually show love to those that are closest to me? How can I show God's love to them and build a relationship with them? So that's the first group. The second is people within the church. So we can also show hospitality to people in the church. There are so many creative ways to do this in the body of Christ. When I first moved here, I know some of you know Sarah Pinkley. She used to run what we called MOPS back in the day. And she started this thing called Grill and Chill. And so people that live in our neighborhood about a mile to 2 miles away from each other that also attend Emmanuel, we get together once a month. And we just, you know, go around to each other's homes, and it's a potluck, and we have dinner together. And it's so fun because we got to know widows. We got to know people who have college-age kids. We got to know people who are singles, and Grill and Chill. Great idea. So it was a really fun way to build a relationship with people at Emmanuel that aren't at your same stage and phase of life. There's lots of fun ways to do that. There's a group of friends that we sometimes rotate houses for Sunday brunch, you know, just make breakfast for lunch on Sunday, and it's very easy, and have a good time fellowshipping with one another. Keep it simple. Have you ever been to someone's home where it has been intimidating? It's perfect, and the food was perfect, and the house was perfect, and it kind of feels intimidating, and you kind of feel like maybe I shouldn't have them to my house because I can't match up to this. So, you know, keep it simple. I think if we're real with one another and we truly love one another, it's not the presentation. It's not kind of like Jen Wilkin was saying. It's not all about it being perfect. You're inviting people into your life and into your home, and that's the most important thing. So there's great ways to do this. I know a lot of people often stay within their age range, and that's another thing to encourage you all on. I love the body of Christ, and I love to getting to know some of my best friends are in their 70s, others are in their 20s, and it's beautiful. It's beautiful to know women of different ages, and so I want to encourage you to try to go to a Bible study and get to know women in different phases and stages of life, and get to know other families within the body of the Lord. Thirdly, I was wanting to talk about people that are not believers, not in our sphere of ministry, or that know Christ. John Piper coined this phrase that I love. He called it strategic hospitality, and I love the way he thinks. His mind is so amazing. He calls it, he asked this question: how can I draw the most people into a deep experience of God's hospitality by the use of my home? And I love that, because he's strategizing and thinking about using his home for the gospel. And I think so. It's so easy to just have the people we feel comfortable with in our home, but what if that pastor didn't invite Rosaria over? What did they have in common? Nothing. So do we just stick with the people we feel comfortable with? You know, I'm convicted by that. My daughter, who's 6, has been praying for our neighbor friend, who they play with a lot. And she's always in our home, this little girl, and she's the sweetest girl, but they're not a believing family. And my little daughter's been praying for her faithfully. And so I thought, you know, I need to join her in this. And since studying this, I've been very convicted that it's very easy to have you all over in my home. It's a lot harder to have people that I don't have as much common with, especially the bond of Christ in my home. So we've invited all of our neighbors over to come to the Christmas concerts here and to have dinner with us. So do something like that, you know, and their family has already said they're going to come, so pray for that family. I won't say the name, but just pray for them. And we'd love to see them know Christ. This is strategic hospitality, that we seek to see God's, the gospel proclaimed throughout the earth. Have you ever had a missionary in your home? Have you ever had the privilege of hearing what God's doing in other parts of the country? You're way more blessed than they are. And I think that by us thinking about spreading the gospel and sharing it with other people, it gets our mind much more globally thinking for the gospel, and our love for God just grows, really. So hospitality is going to look different in each season of your life. Some of you here are in a season where you're in a really busy season of life, and you have little ones, and it seems pretty hard to do it. Then you're going to be in another season of life where maybe you're an empty nester, and it seems like it's a whole lot easier to do it, I imagine. I don't know. My mom says it is, anyways. I just think there's this friend of mine who's 70, and she's a dear friend. I meet with her once a month, and she's discipling me right now, I would say. And I recently asked her, Jesse's doing a thing with the seminary here, and I asked her to meet with the women and do like a tea with them at my home, and that she would just share with us, you know, something encouraging. Well, she's like, honey, you got to come to my house. And you're at the stage of your life where you shouldn't be hosting big events. You've got little ones, and you're always hosting, and you're really busy. Why don't you just come to my house? And I couldn't believe that she would do that for me, you know, that she would. She's like, it's the chapter I'm in. So she had us all over to her home and made this beautiful brunch. And afterwards, she said, that blessed me so much. You don't understand. I'm at the stage in my life where I can do this. I have the time, and I love it. Can I do it again, please? And I just was blown away. You know, it's hard to fit all that in with my three kids. I love having people over, but bigger events can be a little bit harder. So it was just a joy to see how God uses you at your different stages of life. So I want to tell you, just enjoy the chapter you're in, and one day we'll get there, right? But for this season, let's talk about children and hospitality. And this is the last section we'll talk about tonight, aspect of hospitality. And I think that opening our home is a family event. We call it Team Johnson. Team Johnson, let's go. And everyone comes and helps. Like it was said, I have a 4, 6, and 9-year-old, and they all love having people over, and they love getting together and helping out. And hospitality in the little years does take more work. It is more challenging, for sure. There's more messes, there's more questions, there's lots of challenges. But I think it's a wonderful tool to teach our children how to do hospitality and how to love others, because we know their little hearts are drawn towards them themselves, and so to teach them how to be focused on others is such a good, it's such a good teaching tool. So my prayer too is that my children will see me live out the gospel in a practical way when we have people over. It's kind of putting like the skin and muscles on the bones of love, you know, so they can see me not just love our family and focus in on us, but focus in on other people. So some practical ways. How can you have your little ones involved in hospitality? Have you all heard of Risen Motherhood? So there's this one podcast that I'm pretty much stealing right now. So just so you know, I'm not trying to steal it. They have great ideas. So here's the practical ones I'm taking from them. First one is prepare for the guests. Have the kids help you. You know, they can get out a dustbuster when they're two. They can fold napkins at three, and you know, of course, an infant cannot. But you know, help them prepare. And you know, if you start practicing it when they're an infant, it's just part of your normal life. And then when they're two and three, they just see this as part of life. It's not a big ordeal to have people over. So start it when they're, you know, when they're infants, and have them start thinking ahead to planning for the guests, even when they're little. Number two was talk about toys. I think that you have to prepare your children for that. It's hard. It's very hard when other little people invade their space and take their stuff, and they think they're going to leave with it, you know? And so, like, for my kids, I prepared them, and we'd put away the lovies and the breakable things. I mean, we had experiences once where there was a tea set that another child broke, and so you got to think ahead and put the things away that, you know, maybe you don't want out. But then tell them the rest is there for the kids, everyone to share. You know, God's shown you his love abundantly. You want to show love to your friends, and teaching them how to share and how to think generously. The third one was preparing food. And I mean, I have even prepared something simple like popping popcorn and putting cinnamon and sugar on it with my kids, or making pudding. It doesn't take a huge menu plan, but do something. Have them help you bake with them, and they love it. And make it for other people and bring it to them. It doesn't always have to be in your house. The next thing that was a simple idea, number four, was to greet your friends at the door. Show them to go out, be outside of themselves, and go and meet the people and welcome them into your home. You know, isn't that what God has done for us? He runs out and he welcomes us. And so that's what we should do for our friends. And prepare them to not do the, you know, and cling to your leg, and teach them how to give a handshake or high five or whatever it is, and be others oriented. So, and it's harder for some of my kids than it is for others. And they're still, I mean, 6-year-old is still working on it. So, but we're working on it. So the next thing is, number five is, this was a mantra of my mom's, when you see a need, meet it. And so you can start that young. I know that they're little, but you can still start it. So if their friend comes in with a sweater, tell them where to put it, or help them if someone spills, get the napkin. Or if there's a baby that comes to your house and they want a toy, you know, go fetch the basket of toys and bring it to the baby. Just have them think ahead, you know, of things that they can see and need and meet it. And then lastly, walk your friends to the door and tell them thanks for coming. Give them a hug goodbye. My girls actually usually crawl in the people's car that came over and won't let them leave. And that's awkward. So I have to tell my kids, don't go in their car. Just say goodbye from the driveway. They have such a fun time when people come over. So please stop. So anyways, I find the key to all of this when you have people in your home is communication. You have to communicate with your kids before people come over about what you expect of them, and then gently remind them when people are over, and then have a team meeting at the end and recap and tell them you did a great job, and you did this is what you did really well, and let's do it again. And they get excited about it. Capitalize on their willingness at a young age. So, of course, in all of this, even with our children, we want to teach them the why we're having people in our home. And of course, again, the reason why is because Jesus first loved us, and his love for us motivates us to love others. And that's the reason we have people over. So tonight, I just want to encourage you to have the mindset that as we first welcome God into our homes, we welcome him in our homes. He's there. He's there already. He's there for those family dinners. He's there for the play dates during the day. That's another practical thing you can do, have people over for play dates. He's there for the big parties that you plan. He's there for all of it. But see his glory and be overcome by his presence. And as you see him in your home and you give his light to others, if you're a believer, you've already been equipped with the power of the Holy Spirit. And you can honor him by welcoming family members, believers, unbelievers, close friends, strangers, and all of it in between into your hot mess. Just have them over. Doesn't have to be perfect. Just have them over. Be real with them. Invest in a relationship. And you know what? The gospel's going to be revealed. The gospel's revealed through your love with loving others. And it's a beautiful picture of how he's done that for us. And, you know, I find that the more I have people over, the more blessed I am. I'm more blessed by having people in my home than they are by being in my home. And because love is the fuel for our service. So if you allow love to be the fuel, you're going to be blessed by it. Yep, you might have a ton of dishes in your sink. You might be exhausted. But you leave, they leave, and you shut that door, and you think, man, that was really fun. I loved having them over. Every time someone leaves, Jesse and I will be like, oh, we just love them. And just, oh, can you imagine? Can you believe what happened in their life? You know, when you talk to somebody and you get to know them a little bit deeper, you just, it's just such a beautiful thing that can happen. So praise the Lord for it. And if I was unclear with anything or I wasn't practical or something, please talk to me afterwards. I'm happy to talk to you about it more. I didn't want to talk anymore, though, because it's more fun to have table time. So thank you.